Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Bruce Hall, and we have a guest here this morning. It's a guy that I forgot what he looked like, but he's trimmed up his beard nicely, and
so pretty.
He looks like he's lost at least 10 pounds, so the donuts, he's probably off the donuts now. He played golf the last two weekends in a row, and evidently didn't play well enough to play three weekends in a row.
No, I didn't.
Didn't make the cut. No. Now, tell everybody what it was you did, because I didn't even know anything about it.
Yeah, Topgolf... It doesn't exist in New York, so I don't really know how to. So it's a
must not be worth existing.
It's golf for the gaming generation.
Yes, it only exists. It was started in
if
Europe.
You're a gambler.
It was
you could gamble
with it. Absolutely, you could gamble with it. So it started in Europe, and it started in Northern Virginia. It was the first American location, and I think now it's in like Texas.
Is that where
and
you played
Georgia.
Though in Northern Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in Alexandria.
It's in Kingstown. Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, it's a driving.
That's
range,
when you go out and
targets.
Hit balls, and they go. Well, that's where Grant and Danny were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who are from another radio station.
Yeah, they were there on...
They will not remain nameless because they're not really in the New York market.
Right.
It's 106.7 The Fan.
We've had Grant on.
Is that WJFK? I forget.
I used
to be on it, and I can't even remember what it is.
It is WJFK.
If it wasn't for Grant and Danny, there probably nobody would listen to the show, would listen to the station.
But yeah, they've been holding a couple of events there on Tuesdays, which I've gone to a couple of them too. But yeah, this was a Sunday. It's a Pro-Am tour, so it was a team. So you have a foursome, and then you play. You know, you get your high score by hitting targets. So there's a driving range, and you have to hit the golf balls at targets. And then the high score from each person, it was like so you added up. It was kind of like a best ball of driving range version.
There you go.
So it was a Pro-Am tour, and is what they called it. And we didn't do very good.
That doesn't matter. But it's over. You had fun.
I did have fun.
And somehow or another, we managed to like keep the show afloat. And I'm glad to have you back.
I'm looking at
baseball standings right now for those of you out there that tune in to find out who I like, who Roy likes, what's going on in Major League Baseball. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We're coming up real strong on the last month of the baseball season. And like we both said it would happen, Baltimore and Washington are at the top of their Eastern divisions in the National and the American League. The Baltimore Orioles are 6.5 games out in front, which is crazy, to be honest with you. When you think about it, they got whipped last night because Ubaldo Jimenez still pissed off that he doesn't have a license plate with Ubaldo on it anywhere in the United States. He went out and just did his Ubaldo thing. His ERA is almost 5 now. They paid him all this money, but Baltimore has such great pitching. It doesn't really matter. Toronto, New York, Tampa Bay are right behind. Tampa Bay actually climbed to 500 after being 22 games under 500 earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
How incredible is that? And Joe Maddon called it. He said, look, you know, this is a good team. He didn't let those guys give up on themselves. They did trade David Price, but they got Drew Smiley in exchange along with some minor leaguers. And some prospects in there. And listen, Tampa's going nowhere. Would I want to play in Tampa? No, because I don't want to play indoors. It's in a gym, basically. But you know what? They figure out how to make it work, and it is Florida. And if you're single, which a lot of these guys are, it's a pretty good place to go into dance joints. Tampa is, anyway. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I heard from some friends of mine. I want to wish Frenchie happy birthday, Frenchie, buddy. Happy 60th birthday. You're now as old as I am, although you don't look as old as I do. I'm just kidding, Frenchie. You look every bit of 60 when I see you. I'm hoping to see you later on today, but a whole bunch of guys up, 15 guys up for his surprise birthday party in Baltimore.
Wait. Did you just announce a surprise birthday party?
No, but they already had the surprise.
Oh, okay.
It was yesterday.
All right.
And they actually went, since Baltimore's out of town, see, Frenchie's a Baltimore Oriole freak.
Uh-huh.
And he lives actually like in Fells Point or somewhere close by.
Okay.
They went had to go to D.C. to see the Pirates. That was a sellout last night. The Pittsburgh Pirates play. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was 3-0 going into the bottom of the eighth inning, and they scored a run, and there were runners on first and second. It was 3-1 with nobody out, and Anthony Rendon is up. And if Rendon bunts and moves the runners up, but two runners are in scoring position with a chance to tie the game at 3-3, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Rendon swings away, hits a ground ball to short, double play. One run scores. Now there's a runner on third base with two outs. And a lefty that hasn't given up a home run this year. They're Tyler Clippard, you know, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He goes out, first pitch, he throws a hook down and in to LaRoche. He hits it out into the bullpen, into the Washington bullpen, and it's a tie ball game. Then they win in the ninth inning, the Nationals do, on a walk-off ground rule double by Ramos. And guess who scored the winning run? Bryce Harper, who's starting to hit the ball.
He's starting to get hot again.
Well, you know what?
He's
trying
to get his confidence back.
Well, let me just tell you what all he needs to do anyway. You know, as a hitting coach and as a guy that loves baseball and coaches baseball, Bryce always tries to do too much. He's Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. That's how he gets hurt. That's how a lot of things happen to him. What he's done is he's cut back a little bit on his swing. He's just trying to hit the ball where it's pitched. And guess what's happening? I think he's hitting like 400 in the last 7 or 8 games. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing a great job, and he's even taking some walks when he needs it. I'm looking at these standings. Toronto's in second place. The New York Yankees, who I said had a great chance to make the playoffs last week, they do. They're 3 games above 500. I'm sitting here looking at the numbers. They're still probably, I mean, anybody can go. Baltimore, Toronto, New York, and Tampa Bay all have a shot. Kansas City, Detroit, Cleveland all have a shot. L.A., Oakland, and Seattle all have a shot. I mean, that's 10 teams in the American League that can make the playoffs, and it's the almost the end of August. That's pretty exciting stuff if you're the major leagues. And Major League Baseball announced their new commissioner. You know what? I'll talk about this after the break because I'm not real happy about how it came down. Plus, it's all owners. This has gone from having an independent guy be your commissioner. You know, that's like having somebody who has kids in the little league that they're the commissioner of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they have kids in the league and they have friends with kids that are still in the league. The best commissioners in little league are guys that don't have any kids in the league because they can be what? Fair.
You're not biased.
They can be fair and unbiased, and it's never gonna work for the players. Now having said that, they're making a lot of money. But the owners want to make sure that whatever happens is they all agree with. And so they've brought on basically an owner. And, you know, somebody that worked with Selig. You know, Selig got a lot of credit for a lot of stuff. And he, in my opinion, scale of 1 to 10, he's about a 2. He's horrible. He just is. But we're going to talk about baseball, Roy, when we get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to Bruce Bochy is supposed to call in sometime today. He was going to call in last week, and I forgot to call him back. How bad is that?
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. But the thing of it is that, you know, he's had – the Giants have had a rough time. They've been up and down. They've lost guys. It's been tough. But they had a big comeback yesterday, and hopefully we'll get to talk about that. They were down 5-1, came back, won the game. And a guy that I think a lot of, Joe Panik, who is from New York and went to St. John's University – was their first-round draft pick about 3 years ago. He made the difference. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and Matt and I will be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Thanks for listening in, however you may be listening. We are going to break into some MLB.com stuff. So pull up your web browsers there, people, as we're going to break down some of the games that are going on today. We're going to break down the standings as we just started to go down some of the people who are in the race in the AL.
Hey, and Roy and I have our fantasy football pool.
And we do.
Can other people get in on the show that listen to the
we
show?
We have some openings.
Why don't you tell them how, you know, what they need to do if they want to be mm-hmm. in our league?
Yeah, I'll send something.
You know what?
Because
I'd like to have 20 teams, not 12.
We can only have 14. There's a cap. Yeah.
Now, who do we do it through?
We do it through Yahoo.
Yahoo. Mm-hmm.
Yahoo. So we can send out a link. We'll send a link out on the Sports Man Cave Facebook page. We'll send one out on the Bruce Hall Sports Facebook page.
Okay.
Which will also go to your Twitter and the Sports Man Cave Twitter.
Yeah. So at Bruce Hall Sports and at Sports Man Cave.
Yeah. So if you guys have any type of, internet presence with us, you'll see the link. And
don't do like I did and let the machine pick for you, because I finished like in just out of the playoffs. Because no matter what you do when you do that, uh-huh. you're going to have an average
yeah.
team.
Well, Matt went to the championship last
year.
Yeah,
he did. Well,
spanked
him. Well, you know why? He got Peyton Manning.
He did get Peyton Manning.
He got Peyton Manning because nobody was smart enough to draft him in the first round.
I'm pretty sure the computer drafted you.
The computer drafted me, too.
The computer drafted Matt?
Yeah, which is why he had a good team.
Oh, my God.
Which is why he didn't draft, like, Pele or anything like that. That's what he did.
That's the only reason why
he was in the league. He thought it was a fantasy football draft.
My Landon Donovan pick is one day going to pay off.
It'll pay off. It'll pay off one of these days.
This is your time.
This is my time. It was Matt's time last year. Now, did you win?
I won the league, yeah.
Well, of course you did, because you were the only guy in there that had any brains.
I made up the rules. I started the league. And I won it.
And smartly enough, you didn't let me know until it was time to pick, and I had to let the machine pick. I think I was at a game.
I was at a baseball game.
Unbelievable. And by the way, during the draft today, the Nats are playing again. They're playing at 5:05 at
so
home.
So don't go.
I'm not going today.
I'm going to text you today around 4:00.
I'm watching football today because we're getting dangerously close to where people rely on me to give them information about who to pick every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm in the National Handicappers Bowl again. I finished in third place in one category last year and second in another.
Mm-hmm. You know it's NFL season when I get 3 calls a day from bookies.
Well, not now.
I'm starting to get all. I'm dead serious. But you get all of these calls.
Yeah, but I don't even know any bookies. And
Mike, please stop calling me.
And you
at work.
Yeah, but you don't want to tell anybody that. Trust me. Hey, let's go over the National League. Well, you know what? We never really got out of the East. Let's look at the Central. Since we were last on, the Detroit Tigers, even though it looked like the season was over in the American League for all mm-hmm. the other teams except Detroit because they got David Price. Well, guess what? Since then, Justin Verlander went down with what looks like a labrum problem because he's got a highly inflamed shoulder. He got blown out of the water by somebody. But Kansas City is 12 games over 500, and now all of a sudden it looks like the Royals are starting to do what everybody thought they'd do. They had one of the best minor league presences in baseball, and they're getting some good pitching too. And it looks like, I mean, they're leading the Central Division. Now, the Central Division,
that is so up in the air.
Once you get past Detroit, really isn't that good. I mean, Cleveland's done, Chicago's done, Minnesota's done. But Kansas City and Detroit, mm-hmm. I think that's going to go down right to the final week. In the West, of course, you have the Oakland A's, after they've gotten 3 phenomenal pitchers through trades mm-hmm. and everybody thought it was over, all they've managed to do is lose several games. They probably have about a 400 record in the last 2 weeks.
They lost 4 in a row.
The Angels are in a virtual tie with them right now. And both of those teams are going to make it, but the Seattle Mariners have been playing some good ball too, and they have some great pitching.
Mm-hmm. Although they have the secret weapon of Angela Rippon.
Oh, that girl.
Remember?
Yeah, isn't she dating Josh?
She's dating one of the pitchers.
The guy that's in rehab for heroin, cocaine, marijuana,
I don't think
everything.
So about that.
No, it's true.
Is he?
No, you haven't.
He's a pitcher.
Justin. No.
Yeah, she's dating a pitcher for
No. She's dating. Angela Rippon is dating the golfer.
Tijuana Walker.
No, she just started dating him because.
Like a year ago.
Listen to me. She was dating. Who is it that's dating?
Angela Rippon was dating.
Oh, you know what? It's another girl that's dating Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson.
Who is that? That's some hottie, too. I thought it was Angela Rippon. Mm-mm. No, it's not Angela Rippon. It's Gretzky.
Yeah, Gretzky.
And I get all those hot girls that are, have
too
dads that are heroes. And
too
by the way,
girls.
Mark Rippon was MVP of the Super Bowl in Minnesota way back when.
Her daughter, his daughter, Angela Rippon, plays football for the LFL, and
she's
a quarterback
really good.
For Seattle.
And hopefully she won't have some of the same issues that Mark's had. Mark's evidently having some, you know, mental problems. Not bad, just post-concussion stuff.
They were when she played for the Baltimore Charm, I believe is what they're called.
Yeah, because they're the Charm City.
Gary Clark and who played, he was one of the coaches for the Charm, and Mark would go around and help him out too.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Mitchell helped him for a while too.
They were pretty good for an NFL team.
Now Washington had a team too, I think. And maybe that's the one that
I don't think we do anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, if you look at the National League standings, the Nationals are 6 games out in front of Atlanta. Atlanta is playing okay, but they're 63-60. And their big problem has been, you know, in my opinion, besides paying guys $15 million a year like B.J. Upton to hit under 300 on base percentage, and Justin seems to be hurt. By the way, he had a bad hammy recently. He may be down for a while. They're just not the Atlanta Braves of the past. However, they still have decent pitching, starting pitching, and they've got the best closer in baseball. But it doesn't help to have a great closer if you're not winning in the ninth inning. The Miami, what do we call Miami? The Florida Marlins? The Miami Marlins. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to call them
What's
the Miami
team
Marlins.
What's that team that used to win?
60, yeah. Well, you know, they've won two World Series, and very similar to the Oakland A's. I mean, they tend to do it with not much money because they don't keep anybody very long. But they're only 6 games under, but they're done. I'm sorry, they're 8 games under, but they're done. They're 1 game under 500. The Mets are the Mets. You know, I'd like somebody to call in. I want to talk about if you were the owner of the New York Mets right now, if you could trade places with the owner of the Mets, what would you do? Would you add to this team? Would you try to keep it under the budget that they're?
I'd change the name to the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, the Metropolitans. Yeah, but then they'd have to move the.
No,
they
stay
wouldn't.
The same.
But they're not in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well. Or the Brooklyn Mets. And then you have the Brooklyn Mets and the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, they got Giancarlo Stanton, who a lot of people... Look, Giancarlo Stanton has 956 OPS, 254. Both are the highest numbers in the National League. 254 total bases. He's a monster. It's hard to believe a guy like that, that looks like that, could be anything but, you know, roided out. But he's not, evidently. They must test him from time to time.
Nobody does steroids. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure almost everybody does. By the way, I noticed something in the National League that is totally different than in the American League, with the exception of 2 or 3 people. Guys that are OPS leaders, which is on base and batting average leaders, and then total bases, are the same for 9 straight teams. Matt Adams is St. Louis. Andrew McCutchen, who's out for a while after getting drilled in the back. Todd Frazier of the Reds. Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs. Yasiel Puig of the L.A. Dodgers. Hunter Pence of San Francisco. Seth Smith from San Diego. Paul Goldschmidt, who's out right now for Arizona. And Justin Morneau of Colorado. All those guys lead their prospective teams in OPS and total bases, which is amazing. But anyway, Washington and Atlanta are both going to make it. Milwaukee is still, my buddy, they've been in first place the entire year. Milwaukee has never given up their lead in the Central Division. They're 2 games out in front of St. Louis right now. Remember, I picked St. Louis to win it all this year because I didn't want to pick San Francisco and jinx them. And luckily,
do you think
I did.
All 3 of those teams make the playoffs?
I think Pittsburgh has a shot, but not if they get relief pitching like they got last night against the Nats. Because when you go into the 8th inning up 3-0, you better win the game. They don't, and plus, without Andrew McCutchen, they're not the same team offensively.
So if they're not going, well, then it's the Giants.
No, well, if they don't go, it's probably the Giants, yeah. Because, well, there's only five teams that go, right? Two wild cards.
You get the division.
The two wild cards play each other.
Yep.
And the winner of that
plays
actually,
a one seed.
Yes.
Yep.
And there's only two that are going to make it. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, L.A., and Atlanta, Washington. It'll be between those six teams.
It could be that those three teams, the Brewers, St. Louis,
it's actually seven teams in it. There's seven. It's not like the American League. The American League, remember, has 10 teams still in it.
Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh could all make the playoffs. And then St. Louis and Pittsburgh, if the standings were like this, could play each other in the first round, and then the winner play Milwaukee.
Well, no, three teams could make it in the Central Division. St. Louis, definitely. Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee wins it. I just think that they, you know what they've done? They didn't make really any moves. Mm-hmm. They made no moves. They were happy with what they had. They weren't even getting great years out of a couple of their guys. Yeah, shoot, the other night they got a three-run triple from Lyle Overbay as a pinch hitter. These guys can flat-out hit, and that's why they're leading the division. Their pitching is good, but it's not great. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, you know what? I'm sitting here looking, and in the New York Post, there is a big piece on Mike Yastrzemski, who is the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, and I didn't realize how good this kid is. And he was at Vanderbilt. He got drafted out of Vanderbilt. He's been drafted like twice. Signed with the Orioles this last time, and he's in Bowie, which is Double A. And he's got, like, some incredible amount of triples. He's got, like, 14 triples, 20-some doubles, 9 home runs, and he's hitting right around 300. This kid is going to be good. And you know what? Look at his picture. Of course, you people can't see this.
No, I can't see.
But look at a picture of Yaz when he was young. And look at it. Look at him. They look like twins.
They do look pretty
They
similar.
Look like they're brothers. They don't look like grandfather and grandson. They look like brothers. Anyway, this kid
I wonder if they have the same genetics.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, they probably do.
I would imagine it's Mike's dad, obviously, because he still has the Yastrzemski name, not his mom that carries the genes. And he lost his dad to a heart attack a long time ago. He died a few years back. His dad did. And you know, I'm not sure, but I think Yaz might have had some surgery or some work done too. But anyway, it's a great article. If you get the Post, you want to take a peek at it. We're going to go over what I want to do right now, Roy, is give everybody my plays for today. We're getting dangerously close. We're going to talk NFL definitely second half of the program. It's a big fantasy day. A lot of people are having their fantasy
drafts.
Yeah, we're having our draft, but you could probably have it even in a week or so, couldn't you? I guess up until...
We have our draft today, and then I have a big league that we do every year, like the live
draft.
Oh,
so our league doesn't matter. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, we don't... I'm in a money league, I guess.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So you're a gambler.
Oh, not on a handicapping show.
Oh, no, me either.
Nope.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this. I'm sitting here looking right now. Baltimore goes to Cleveland today. They've been in Cleveland all weekend. Mm-hmm. Salazar for Cleveland. Gausman for the Orioles. Gausman is a great pitcher. He's going to be great. He's a young kid. He's like 22 years old. Salazar, not so good. Baltimore just got whipped last night. Normally, I'd take Baltimore here, but I'm going to leave it alone because Cleveland is starting to hit the ball a little bit. And you never know with Cleveland, and you never know with Salazar. Now I'm going to say I was watching a game the other night. You're a big Buck Showalter fan, so, yeah. and I like Buck too.
I do like Buck as much as I dislike the Orioles.
Well, Buck it doesn't smile much, but he's a very very good game manager. And the other night they were playing Cleveland, and Kluber, you know, is their hot pitcher. I mean, Kluber is setting records as we speak. With you know, going 8 innings with, I think he's struck out 10 or more people in 8 straight games, which is tied a record or at least has him in second place or so. And you can look this up if you're following me. His name's Corey Kluber. He wasn't even that good. We were talking to Tony last year. Tony said when he came up last year, he wasn't even that good. And in spring training, he didn't come out that good. Then all of a sudden, second half of the season, he's been their ace. I mean, it's not even close. Anyway, Kluber is out there, and the Orioles aren't even whiffing him. You know, they're not sniffing anything. They're not hitting the ball. I want to say they have two hits, maybe three hits, and it's the eighth inning. And they've already got one out. And Andrew Jones is up, right? And not Andrew Jones. What am I talking about?
Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
Center fielder.
Yeah. Anyway, he starts to bunt. And he's drag bunting because he's just trying to get on base anyway he can. He doesn't have a hit. He's 0 for 2. And the ball is coming in on him a little bit. He pulls the bat back, and the ball hits him in the finger. Mm. And, of course, Buck's screaming, he's hit by a pitch. He's hit by a pitch.
Well, your hand's part of the bat, right?
Well, exactly. So, and the umpire goes, no, foul ball. Mm-hmm. Buck came out, talked to the umpire. You know Buck when he's stalling, right? He's very good at it. He'll go out there and he'll ask a question. He'll go this and he'll go back and forth. He wasn't screaming and hollering. He was literally sitting there pretending to listen, blah, blah, blah. Then he started back. Then he came back again. Anyway, he burned a good 10 minutes.
To let his reliever warm
to up. To let Kluber get stiff. He just sat out there on the mound. He didn't do anything. I never even saw him play catch with anybody. Comes back. There's a second out. Then there's a walk. Then there's a base hit. Anyway, they scored a run with two outs and nobody on base. One person on base. And I at the time on Twitter, I said, he's unbelievable because he gave his guys a chance by just going out there and stalling, which the umpire let him do. Now, if I'm the home plate umpire, yeah. I'm going, look, I've just explained that to you. You can either leave or you're gone. That would have been me. But this umpire and Buck evidently have a relationship, and Buck doesn't get tossed off. And he's been tossed one time this year, and it was last week.
Well, it's hard to get tossed with the new.
You're not arguing about stuff because you're checking it out on film. And that's got to be great. But listen, in a game that was constantly looking to speed up the game, this doesn't speed the game up.
Oh, well, the AL East in general slows down baseball games.
Well, Boston and New York slow down baseball games because they need to make more money because their payrolls are higher. And they need to sell more beer. They need to sell more food. They need to sell more advertising, and they do. I mean, have you ever seen a Boston Yankee game less than 3 hours? I haven't. Have you? The next time you watch Boston New York game.
Yeah, they both
game,
play so slow.
It's like 3.5-4 hours all the time. But anyway, the two of them are playing. I'm going to pass on the game. Baltimore has the better pitcher. That doesn't mean he's going to win. And in baseball, you really want to make sure you're on the right side of the game, and I'm going to leave that game alone. What do you think, Roy?
I'll take Baltimore.
Well, that's because you're not going to really
Baltimore's hot. Cleveland is just poop. So,
well, Cleveland has been up and down. Now, Seattle, you got the guy that my wife refers to as the Tick. You got Chris Young, who's 6'10", and has the head that's smaller than yours, Roy.
I have a small head.
And he's 6'10", so he looks like a tick.
What size hat do you wear?
Eight.
You seven, wear an eight fitted hat?
Yeah, eight, seven, and seven.
You know
eights.
What I wear? Take a guess.
Seven, six, and seven eighths.
Six and seven eighths.
Yeah, well, that's the smallest one I can order for my college kids.
Sometimes I'll wear a seven if like my hair's longer.
Yeah.
Or like during the summer when my head swells.
Your
a little
dad's
bit.
Head's bigger than yours.
Not by much.
Yeah, you must take after your mom.
I even have some hats that are 6 5/8. You got to get those. Specialty order.
Well, an eight is actually a little big on me, but when your head sweats in a good fitted hat, it's going to get a little tighter.
So I like having eights.
Well, you know what's nice about eights, except for they're more expensive sometimes in some stores. What's nice about eights is there's always eights. Mm-hmm. Except for now, all the kids want the big hat.
Yeah, with their ears.
So they can flop it around.
You know what's great about having 6 5/8 or 6 7/8? Nobody steals your hats.
Well, not only that, you can't find one sometimes.
That sucks. But I can also
Little kids wear them.
Well, I can buy the kids section.
I don't think I ever
cheaper.
Had a head smaller than 7 1/4 in my life, even including birth. Anyway, here we get. Hey, and we all know Boch has the biggest head in the major leagues. He's a 8 3/8.
That's ridiculous.
All right, here we go. You got Chris Young going at Ray. Now Ray was involved in that trade, and you know, that Detroit made when they got rid of, you know, Price. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Ray's terrible. I'm going to take Seattle in this game because Seattle needs the win. Huh. They just need the win. Houston's at Boston. I'm going to pass on that game. Houston is playing well. And they got Dexter Fowler back. No. Houston is playing well. Now, they were playing really well up till about two weeks ago. Then they started losing again. Trust me. Look at me, Roy. Okay. Their minor league system is going to turn out. It's going to be very much like the Cubs. Houston, now they're not the Cubs. No. The Cubs, Roy, the Cubs will have one of the best teams in baseball in 3 years. They will. They've got everybody that they're bringing up now are their killer kids. They're phenomenal. Rizzo is just the tip of the iceberg for them. Mm-hmm. They have like kids at every position and pitchers that, and by the way, there's no, you know, Hamill has done nothing since they traded him, right?
Mm-hmm.
To Oakland. He's been terrible. He got literally destroyed yesterday again. Okay. Samardzija is going to be good. Samardzija's Samardzija. He's fine. But Samardzija could end up coming back. Oakland's not going to pay him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. They got him for the World Series push right now. So you know what I'm going to do there? I'm going to take nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's too bad baseball teams.
I don't like Kelly anyway. That's not Casey Kelly, I don't think. Kuroda with the Yankees goes to Tampa Bay. Hellickson, who has been up to the majors and down and back up again and mm-hmm. back down and been up again. I'm going to take Hellickson in Tampa Bay because they're one game under 500.
I'm going to say they're about to hit 500.
Yeah, they need to win it. Hutchinson is the better pitcher in the next game against Carroll of the Chicago White Sox, but I'm going to pass on the game. I just don't like the game at all, even though it's a pick. Kansas City, Guthrie, the better pitcher, in my opinion. He's going against Malone, and Malone was so upset when Oakland traded him. He was part of that big deal with Minnesota.
He was an ex-National.
He ends up going to Minnesota. He's playing extremely mad. I'm going to take Malone. I'm going to take Minnesota today.
I'll take Malone.
I think they beat Kansas City up there. You got the Angels at Texas. I'm going to pass because the Angels aren't playing that well. Their manager came out and said last night that Josh Hamilton just isn't the same guy he was when he was on the Texas Rangers.
Hmm.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that was a few injuries ago and everything else. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute. On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm so happy to be back with an old friend of mine who's on the line, John Naren, the hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. John, thanks for calling in. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Bruce. Good to talk to you.
I'll tell you what, when we saw each other in March, I think we both kind of knew something was going to happen with that team because I really enjoyed just watching the hitters work out. I mean, you've had the hitters. There's no question. The pitching has held up for you. You started out like gangbusters. You're still holding on. You're 13 games over 500. You have the second best record in the National League ahead of St. Louis and Pittsburgh, who both went to the playoffs last year. And I don't see any reason why you guys are going to let up. Am I wrong?
Well, it all starts with Rick Kranitz, our pitching coach, and our pitching staff. And we came in here to Los Angeles, and we took a look at who we were going to be matched up with. And when you see Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke and Heron as the guy we're going to face today, when you see we're going to face those guys today, you know, that's pretty tough. And, you know, Jimmy Nelson, a rookie, gave us a chance by only giving up a couple of runs on the first night in. And Giovanni Gallardo did a great job last night, which gave us a chance to win. And that's been the biggest thing for us. You know, you give our hitters a chance, and you know, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, you got Peralta going today, and he's had a hell of a season.
He's a big, strong, young pitcher. He's got a big arm. You know, and he's still learning. You know, Jimmy Nelson and Willie Peralta both are young and just learning. And Rick Kranich does a great job preparing them for the game, preparing them for the hitters they're going to be facing. And, you know, he does a great job with these guys, helping them make the transition into the major leagues. And Willie's going to be very good. I think he could be an ace one day.
John, you know, you had a really very sad event that happened earlier this year. Your all-star shortstop from last year, little boy died suddenly, right, down in Dominican Republic or wherever he lives. He's back now. How's Gene Segura doing? Is he doing better? Is he feeling all right?
Well, you know, it's tough. I mean, people tell me it's the worst thing could ever happen is to lose a child. And the team embraced him, the players and the coaches and the staff. We just surrounded him and wrapped our arms around him, loved on him. And one of the things that once he went down to Dominican to go through the process, he came back and he was asked, what can you do? What do you want to do? And he said, I want to be with my team. They're my family. And the guys have done a great job supporting him, and you know, it's day to day. I mean, something like that's day to day, and it's just it's tough. But our guys have really helped him out.
You know, we've seen you and I both, Johnny, have seen our share of really good catchers in our short lives, and I gotta tell you, how good is Luke Roy? I mean, he's got almost 40 doubles. I mean, this guy. I don't remember him that much last year when I saw you guys, but I do remember him in spring training. And in spring training, he hit the ball pretty good. I mean, is he as good as what we're seeing?
Yes. This makes my third year working with him, and he just continues to get better. He understands what you need to do as a big league hitter against big league pitching. He continues to make the adjustments and do what he has to do. He's a natural hitter. He has a natural swing. He keeps the barrel in the zone, the hitting zone, for a long time. You hit a cliche, keep your hands inside the ball. But he does a great job with that. But he's also just a smart hitter. He understands what needs to be done on any given night against any given pitcher. And that's what's making him get better.
Well, you know, he's not that old. He just turned 28 years old. And now, you know what we're noticing a lot of? And you tell me if you see it as much as I see it from the outside. And I don't know if it's because of those hockey masks or what that they're using more than they used to use our old-fashioned ones that always fell off and stuff. But so many catchers are getting, and this may have something to do with the velocity of the ball going up too, but so many catchers are getting concussions. And you look around right now, like San Francisco, for example, they don't have a catcher that hasn't had a concussion problem in AAA or the majors. And
well,
go ahead, John.
Like you told me, with our short life, we're still young. We can remember the catcher's mask that felt like it weighed 10 pounds.
I mean, yeah,
you can think these masks now are made out of materials that are so light, and we don't. You know, I had a conversation with my brother Jerry Nairn the other day, and you know, obviously he caught in the big leagues, and we were wondering, you know, could it possibly be that the lighter materials of these masks are not giving these guys protection? We don't know the answer to that, but the mask they're using now, the hockey mask, and even the regular, what looks like the old catcher's mask, is made out of extremely lightweight material. Very strong, don't get me wrong, it's very strong, and it will not break, and it's protective, but it's a very lightweight material. So I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Well, you know, it might be a physics problem, because in physics, you know, everything, all collisions have to do with weight and speed. And if a ball,
right,
the ball's weighed the same thing for a long time, if it hits something that is a certain weight that's not moving, it's going to come back off of that. A lot of times, it's not even going to come back if the mask is too light. I guarantee you that's the problem. And it looks like a lot of people are going back to the older mask, the older, heavier mask. Shoot, we used to, when we wore those heavy masks, I mean, they weren't fun to wear, But they weren't bad. And if it's going to keep these guys from getting concussions, I hope they go to it. Let's talk about a couple more of your hitters. Aramis Ramirez, I love this kid. Now, you said to me before when we were in spring training that this guy is the most underrated hitter in the league. You're absolutely right. He's hitting over 300 again. He's got 50, he was out a lot of the year. 15 doubles, 13 home runs. You know, his on-base average is 342. You know, this guy this guy could end up in the Hall of Fame, couldn't he?
He has those tight numbers. The thing that Aramis does is, you know, during the afternoons when people don't realize that all these guys work hard, but Aramis right now is really putting in the time and effort in the weight room and getting himself as in shape, if you will. I know this is the time of year that you're grinding out towards the end of the season, but he's still keeping himself in excellent shape. I see him often. Most of the time when I want to find him, I go to the weight room. And he's working out. He's keeping himself in shape. He's getting himself stronger. He's an experienced player and spends a lot of time in the cage in the afternoons, you know, working on his swing, making sure he's where he needs to be.
You know, I've been watching you guys a lot lately, and that's the nice thing about MLB Network. You can watch all the games if you want. You can record them and go back over them. Chris Davis, you know, the other day, Lyle Overbay hits a three-run triple to win a ball game. You know, Overbay, in his own way, and you know, he came, I guess, from Toronto. I don't know if he came directly from Toronto, but I remember when he played for Toronto. You know, he's got – I'm sitting here looking. You know, this guy has 31 RBIs in only 200 at-bats. You know, I mean, you know, he does the job whenever you ask him. Chris Davis, God, if you could get him to make a little bit more contact, the guy would be one of the top hitters in the league every year, and he may still be one of the top hitters in the league. You know, his on-base average isn't that high, you know, but he's got 30 doubles and 20 home runs. I mean, where did Chris Davis come from? Was he one of your guys?
Chris Davis came up through the organization, and he has tremendous bat speed, tremendous hand speed. He's a young player that's still learning, still making adjustments to the big leagues. He has great aptitude. He's doing what he needs to do. You know, making that contact, keeping the, you know, the conversation he and I have is keeping the barrel over the ball, because when he misses underneath. He's working real hard at it. He's getting better at it. He's going to be something special. He's got some power. He's got some pop that you can't teach. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to see him progress and get better. Lyle Overbay, I mean, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
I mean, our players call him the legend. That's the nickname they gave him, the legend. Before that, he had bat the other night against the Dodgers when he hit that three-run double. He went over the advanced scouting report, which those guys do a great job for us. He and I discussed that he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew exactly what he was going to be looking for, and he got it, and you see what he did with it. And that's a veteran player. That's a veteran hitter.
You know, Ricky Weeks and Scooter Gennett, who, when I saw Scooter in spring training, I asked you, I said, who is that kid? And you said, man, you're going to hear about this kid. Well, he was good enough to basically, you know, you platoon him to a certain extent, but Scooter really seems to be your starting second baseman. But if you look at the numbers that they share, they're probably the best second baseman in the league by far, putting them together. Am I wrong saying that?
I agree with you. You know, they both have a little bit different skill sets. Ricky's a very powerful young man, has more power. Scooter does a great job, like LaCroix, getting the bat into contact zone, keeping it there to make more consistent contact than a lot of hitters do. Scooter, he might be small, but I tell you, the kid's strong. And, you know, there's some things that he's working on. He's still young, like Chris Davis and Gene Segura. And, you know, these guys, it's fun to work with them. They continue to get better. But, yeah, those two guys together, they've done a great job for us at second base.
Hey, Johnny, you know, we got a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure I get all this stuff out of here. Mike Fears, is he one of your guys, or did you get him in a trade somewhere? Because I remember the name, and I could have swore he was with you, or is he coming off an injury?
You know, I don't have my media guy here for.
He's a pitcher, exactly. You know, that tells you something about the allocation of responsibility with your team, because you got one of the best managers in baseball. And when names go around and they start talking about who's going to be manager of the year, if people don't think about Ron Renneke, they should have their heads examined. But no, I'm sitting here. I pulled it up here. He's just kind of been around a little bit. I guess he's been with you. Yeah. He was in the PCL and AAA. I think I get him mixed up with a kid from the Angels. Well, let's take a peek at your schedule, and then I'll let you go on your way, because I know on Sunday. Listen, this is a big game for you today. Sundays are always big games, because you want to leave. You want to get on that airplane with a smile on your face. But I'm sitting here looking. You got the Dodgers. You've won the first two games. You've already taken the series. Boy, it'd be nice if you could get this one. Then it looks like you go home to Milwaukee to play the Blue Jays. Then you got the Pirates at home, and hopefully you'll catch the Pirates before McCutchen gets back. Then you go on the road, and you got the Padres and the Giants at the end. That road trip's a big one, isn't it?
Well, that road trip's huge, and don't sell San Diego short. They got a great pitching staff.
Number one.
And anytime you're facing the San Francisco Giants with their pitching staff, and then you back up, like you were saying, Pittsburgh comes in for three. Those guys compete. They're going to get after you. And Toronto. I mean, Toronto is, still got a chance to get in the playoffs. So there's no easy days, no days off. I mean, it's a daily grind, and you've got to just keep grinding forward, pushing forward. But we're looking forward to hopefully getting into the playoffs. But if we get into the playoffs, it's going to be earned.
I got you.
It's going to be a tough one.
Hey, Johnny, I wish you good luck. John Nairn, hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. Johnny, thank you so much, and thanks for doing this for us, buddy.
Anytime, Bruce.
You got it, buddy. Johnny Nairn, Milwaukee Brewers. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back.
We're always back.
They're going to break down some NL games after that interview with the Milwaukee Brewers hitting coach. So I guess a good place to start would be Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, you know
what?
And
the Dodgers today.
Absolutely. And anytime you win the first two games of a three-game series on the road, very rarely do you sweep. And I'm sitting here looking at the game today, and I'm thinking to myself, self, who would you take?
Bruce?
You know what? Danny Heron's been struggling lately. I'm taking Peralta to sweep him. I think Milwaukee sweeps him, and they're getting odds. I mean, the game is, well, it's actually even. It's 105. It's plus 105. I'm taking Milwaukee. I think the Dodgers, the Dodgers' chemistry sucks. You know, if the Dodgers don't win the division, it's because their chemistry just isn't there. I said this about Don Mattingly at the start of the season. I said it last year. I'm saying it now. He's not a manager. He's a hitting coach, maybe. I just don't see him being the guy to put this group of guys together. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of talent, but they're all the same. They're all former superstars. You know, Hanley Ramirez, Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig is a newcoming superstar. But you know what? These guys – oh, by the way, Juan Uribe just went down. Juan Uribe, who's been playing better than anybody on that team, just went down with a grade 2 hamstring strain.
That's no good.
He could be out for 2 weeks. And if Uribe's out for 2 weeks, that's not good for the Dodgers. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm sitting here with Roy and Matt. We didn't finish the National League in my games. Mm-hmm. I've only got a couple picked out because then we're going to jump heavy duty into the NFL. And we're going to have we got a big game here in Washington. I say here in Washington because we're not far from Washington, D.C., where we do the show. Even though we go out in New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, all boroughs of Manhattan, we are here close to the Washington, D.C. area when we do the show. Tomorrow night, the Cleveland Browns make their way to FedEx Field to play a Monday night mm-hmm. game on, game, yeah. And that's not even NFL Network, I don't think. Monday night game is ESPN, I guess. And that's going to be at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And guess what? Johnny Manziel, it's going to be sold. I mean, it's sold out anyway. I mean, the stadium has been quote-unquote sold out forever. It's not sold out like a lot of people want to make you think, like the Redskins do, because I know it's not, because I'm in the ticket business and I know these things. Mm-hmm. But and have been in the ticket business.
Was the New England game and Redskins game sold out? Did they announce that as sold out?
Well, they don't ever – well, they're all sold out. Roy, everything.
Because I was at that game.
Yeah, but everything's sold out.
Definitely,
but yeah,
not sold out.
No, I know. But my point is every seat is sold, whether it's
eBay.
No. Yeah, exactly. StubHub.
Yeah.
StubHub, and a lot of the brokers in Northern Virginia, mm-hmm. And in metropolitan Washington get as many of the upper level seats as they want to sell, and they're on consignment. They don't have to pay for them like they used to when the Redskins were good before this guy bought the team. But anyway, we're going to finish up the National League. Jake Arrieta is going to – you know, I like the Mets because it's our local team, and I like the Mets a little bit better than the Yankees because I'm kind of a Met guy. But they're going to
lose. Brooklyn Mets?
No, it's not the Brooklyn Mets. It's the Brooklyn Nets.
We're making that push.
Yeah, but Chicago Cubs, Jake Arrieta, who used to be an Oriole and got traded to Chicago or signed as a free agent. New York Mets are going to lose to Jake Arrieta and the Cubs today. Arrieta's got a 2.77 ERA, 6-4. Montero for the Mets, 0-5, his record is. When he pitches. 0-3 is his record. Wainwright gets the ball against San Diego at home. Even though it's a 2-1 game, you know, odds-wise, I'm taking Wainwright. I don't see San Diego scoring enough runs, and Wainwright can hit. Lenskum's getting the ball in San Francisco. They have a shot. He's a -160. I'm passing on that game, although I really, really, really want the Giants to win this game. It's too close to call. Cincinnati at Colorado, Matt Latos. Pass. Cincinnati's not hitting. Their best players are out. Colorado's Colorado. They're terrible. Milwaukee's at L.A. We talked about this. Roy and I, we're going to go with Milwaukee against the Dodgers. Danny Heron's getting the ball, but Danny Heron's about done.
He's a meatball.
He's a 5, and he's pitching like a 7. He's pitching like he should be in AAA or maybe shut down. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Dan Heron has some kind of an arm issue. If he loses today, he'll be on the DL. Trust me. Volquez is at Pfister. That's a big game. Now, Volquez has pitched very well lately. You could have picked up Volquez on any rotisserie league all year up until, you know, about the All-Star break and a little bit after. Mm-hmm. But he's won like 4 games in a row. I really like the guy, but I'm taking Doug Fister, man.
You can't go against Doug Fister.
No, plus they need to win the game. Washington's got a little momentum. Fister is a stud. They're 13-4 when he pitches.
I mean, he's pitching like their ace.
Listen to this. They're 14-10 when Volquez pitches. So, I mean, it's not like they're throwing some slob out there. He's pitched really well. Oakland, this is an interleague game. The only one of the day. Lester's pitching. John Lester's pitching against Minor, who's terrible. Take Oakland in this game. What is our rule, Roy? Take Oakland on Sundays.
Take Oakland on Sundays.
Take Oakland on Sundays. That play, last 3 starts, Lester's 3-0, 2.49 ERA. Take him. Mm-hmm. All right, so now let's talk NFL. Hey, I want to hear something like... Have you got that on there anywhere? Where is that? All right, good. We're talking football now. And by the way, if you heard what John Nairn was saying, and if you're a kid, or if you're a baseball coach or a little league coach or a high school coach, okay, or a softball coach, go back to the old style face masks. It is a situation where you're talking physics. When you've got something light being hit by something heavy, the light is going to take the impact. Well, guess what? That impact is on your head. And even though it's a lot more comfortable to wear those hockey masks, it's what's giving you those concussions. Because we didn't have that problem until the hockey masks became every day. So go buy an old style mask. I love what Johnny said. Remember those old heavy masks we used to use? He's absolutely correct. I mean, I can remember taking my mask off and going, I have this on my head. This is heavy. But you know what? It gives you a big, strong neck. Mm-hmm. And even though it might give you some neck issues when you get a little older, probably won't. It'll probably save your brain all the impact problems that you're going to have.
Yeah. I remember when the hockey mask came out because I wore the helmet and the pullover.
Well, you know, when they first came out, they weren't that light. And then they got lighter, and they started using – see, they've got all kinds of stuff they build airplanes with that will take, like, impact and force that don't get destroyed. But it's physics. The momentum has to go somewhere. Well, where all that energy goes is into your brain because when you have one of those hockey masks on – I mean, it basically puts it all right into your head, and it's I see it happening, and I'm thinking next year I'm going to make sure I have some of the different masks. I'm going to try to start schooling some of my kids with that. Let's just go over real quick the games that have been played so far this week. The Chicago Bears beat Jacksonville 20-19 the other night, but I'll tell you, Jacksonville looks good. Ron Middleton is going to come on as soon as the regular season comes on. Ron's going to be a regular on here. New England Patriots beat Philadelphia 42-35. Looked like a daggone just offensive game. Not a lot of defense being played. They called it flag football. New Orleans beat Tennessee 31-24. The Oakland Raiders won 27-26. They beat Detroit. Of course, it doesn't matter. It's preseason. Seattle crushes San Diego. Hey, Seattle crushed San Diego. And by the way, Seattle in the first half, they looked unbeatable. Green Bay beat St. Louis 21-7 yesterday. The Jets looked pretty good, except their defensive backfield didn't look very good in the first half. They win 25-17 because of their second and third and string players. Baltimore wins 37-30 in Dallas. Also, no defense. Dallas is going to suck this year. The Giants beat Indianapolis 27-26. That doesn't matter much. Pittsburgh 19-16. The Pittsburgh defense looked really, really good. That's a little scary for everybody in that division. Miami beats Tampa Bay 20-14. Houston actually won as bad as they lost last week. Atlanta, Roy. They're going to win three or four games again this year. Minnesota beats Arizona, and then there's three games. Two games today, one tomorrow. For the first time in generation. Let's try that again. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, and I'm a realtor, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230, WFAS.
WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And guess what? It's football season.
Yeah, it is.
It's a beautiful time of the year. This is better than Christmas.
Well, August, September are my favorite months, even into October, because you've got baseball and football, and what else is there?
So I was sitting at a driving range the other day.
No offense, Matt.
It was at top. Yeah, Matt. So we were. I was at the driving range the other day.
Football.
And I'm at the Topgolf, and they have little cocktail waitresses that come around and give you beer, right?
Are
and
they so, all little?
Not all of them. So I'm drinking Samuel Adams, the seasonal, okay, so which is summer ale, right? So I'm sitting there hitting golf balls, and she's like, would you like another one? And I'm like, yes, another same seasonal, please. So she brings me Oktoberfest. Yes. And at that moment, I realized football
is back. My favorite
time
of the
year. I was at that moment that I got goosebumps. And I knew that football was around the corner.
Well, I tell you what, if you're up and down the East Coast from, say, North Carolina to Maine, it feels like football season because in the evenings it's in the 50s.
It's gorgeous.
And we've got that, what do they call that?
Polar vortex.
Polar vortex. It's the polar vortex. I like the polar vortex as long as it's in July, August, September.
Yeah.
Hey, let's cool do this, Roy. We've done this a couple of times. Roy and I are getting ready for our fantasy. If you got any questions you want to talk to us about who's good and who's not and who's top. And listen, by the way.
Because we do have a fantasy expert here in studio.
Yeah, USA Today. Well, we also have a few. Let me tell you something. The guys that do fantasy and do it well are better than most of the handicappers that I listen to when I listen to handicapping.
Or they're both because they're me.
Okay, whatever. You know what I'm going to start doing? You and I are going to keep track this year of all of our picks. We're going to do it so well that it's not going to be, oh, I had that.
No,
when did you have that?
I track all of my play. Okay. You can read all of my stuff.
Okay.
I track it.
Yeah, I know. I just wonder when you put some of it in. Anyway, let's do this.
Thursday.
The AFC East. He's got the Patriots, who we already said they're going to win 11 games probably. Mm-hmm. They're going to win. The Dolphins, they in my opinion, they're going to win 6 games max, maybe 7. The Jets are going to go 9-7. We already discussed that, right?
Yes, we did.
And they're going to go to the playoffs as a wild card. The Bills are going to be 6-10 again. I just don't think the Bills have the right quarterback. Guess who has the right quarterback?
Patriots?
No.
The Jets?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. He had a great game last night, too. And Peterson was sat and watched him. And he said he's so happy that they drafted that kid. You know who I'm talking about? Who's their number one guy?
I don't even know.
He's the Florida State guy.
Florida State guy?
No, I'm sorry. He's the guy from Louisville.
Oh, he is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater. I want to say he was 18 for 20 last night or something, or 18 for 22. He had a great, great, great game. Buffalo is going to be terrible, in my opinion. I just don't think they're going to be that good.
And
plus, they're getting bought by Jon Bon Jovi, and he's going to move them to Toronto. Mm-hmm. And if they move to Toronto, guess what? They won't be the Buffalo Bills anymore. Mm-hmm. Who the heck is going to buy all of those tickets? Toronto? I mean, do they really think people from Buffalo will travel to Toronto?
They do have a Canadian Football League that's gotten pretty big.
Yeah, but it's not that big, and there's a reason that they play like when they play, because it gets really cold and snowy there early.
Well, what if they're into something, and then Toronto gets a team, and they become the Toronto Snowstorms,
whatever
they want to call themselves.
Yeah. Toronto Bills.
And they use the CFL as kind of a minor league team for that team.
I think you ought to just keep that thought to yourself.
Happen. They could be the Toronto Rob Fords.
That would
Raptors.
Probably sell.
Hey, listen.
Rob Ford.
Roy, let's go over the AFC North now. Cincinnati Bengals are at the top because they were last year. I say the Bengals win 9 games this year. I got the Steelers coming back and winning 10 games. I think they'll have the best defense. I think the Ravens win 9 games, and I think the Browns...
We're in the same boat with the Ravens.
...will win 6.
I say the Ravens win 9 games. Remember last year when I sat here and I said the Ravens are going to go 8-8, and you screamed at me and kicked me out.
Well, you were saying how bad they were, but what did they go?
They went 8-8.
Okay, well.
And Joe Flacco set the
franchise record. They also had a few injuries, didn't they? Oh, here's Roy via Yahoo Sports. Join my Yahoo Sports Fantasy Football League. Hey, tickets, you've been invited. That's my name, tickets. You've been invited to join Roy's Custom League.
Yeah, you so better do that.
I'm so cool.
So better do that so I can win.
By the way, this...
I just joined, too. Hey. My name is Roy Sucks FC.
Okay, good.
That's right.
This division... Look, we got to talk sports a little bit. This division here in the AFC North could end up being the best division in a year. It may be the best division anyway, because the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals can all make the playoffs. Cleveland is the team that's trying to get... You know, remember, they have an owner that's in a little bit of trouble, and they had general manager. They called their general manager, assistant general manager, and president of their league last year. What they call them, the Three Stooges? Oh, that was the owner was part of the Three Stooges. So, you know, they're still trying to make some things happen. The AFC South has Indianapolis.
And that's it.
No, that's not it, because Tennessee is going to be okay. Mm. Jacksonville is going to be much better. Mm. And I think Houston,
I
think Houston's got to be better.
Houston will be 7-9 this year.
I think you're probably right. They might even win 8 games, but I think Tennessee could win 8 games, and I think Jacksonville wins 5 or 6. In the AFC West, the Chiefs are not going to have the year they had last year because, A, their record.
They'll have a harder schedule.
Oh, it's so much harder already. And plus, look at Denver's going to be as good, if not better, and San Diego's definitely going to be better. And Oakland is going to be better because they have to be better. Why? Everybody loses their job if they're not better. Coach goes, GM goes. I hate to say that, but Reggie McKenzie, who I think is a great football guy, needs to put up or shut up. The Eagles are going to win the NFC East. They're going to win 10 or 11 games. The Cowboys, please. They're going to win 5 games, maybe 6. The Redskins could go 8-8, but here's the problem, Roy. Here's the problem, and you're going to see it tomorrow night at FedEx Field. When Rex Grossman goes out in the second half and throws for 5 touchdown passes.
It's going to happen, too.
It is going to happen if he doesn't get hurt. And it's because our secondary, after you get – look, our 2 best players in the secondary, are you ready for this, are 36 and 34.
Those are ages, not their numbers.
That's their ages, yeah. That's their ages. Number. And guess what? They're both hurt right now. D'Angelo Hall has a bad back. He got injured because he fell flat on his back last week in practice being flipped. And guess who else is hurt with a hammy? Ryan Clark, who we didn't pay. He played 8 years for the Pittsburgh Steelers like an all-pro.
Of course, after he left Washington.
Of course, the Redskins take him. They want him back. They take him when he's 37.
Something like that.
I think he's 36. Really they take him back. He was the reason Sean Taylor got good so fast. Because he played weak side when Sean played. I mean, sorry.
He's 34.
He played strong side when Sean played free safety.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's that. The Giants, you know, their defense is better than I thought it would be, but their offense is not very good.
The Giants are going to get last in the division.
You know, they.
Well,
no, I think
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys
will get last.
I think the Giants win 7 games. The Cowboys win 5 games. I think the Eagles win 10 or 11. The Redskins win 8. And the only team that goes to the playoffs is going to be the Eagles out of that division.
I think the winner of this division wins 9 games.
I think the Eagles are going to win more than 9. But they, you know what? You're right. It could be. In reality, 8 could win this division.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys 8. Are more along 7. I think they're a 6.
I don't see it because I see Romo getting hurt again. He's got a back.
Well,
it's his back. He looked good last
night. It's on Romo.
He looked good last night.
The defense is terrible.
He looked good last night.
Yeah.
But everybody looked good last night.
The defense is terrible, but name a better defense in the NFC East. You really can't name a good defense. None of them have good defenses.
Well, it's not Dallas, so they have the worst defense in the NFC East.
Or is it the Redskins? Or is it the Giants?
Or is it the Eagles?
Or is it the Eagles? I mean,
Eagles gave up 42 points.
They're all bad defenses. So then it goes, who's the best offense? Well, I will take Dez Bryant and Tony Romo over any of the other options in the
Although
division.
Although people say the experts, and you know who they are, all these guys that, you know, didn't say anything about Spygate.
Right.
All the experts think that the Redskins maybe have the best set of receivers in the league. You know, if they're healthy, they might be right, but look who they have throwing the ball. RG3. How good is Robert Griffin as a drop back passer? Look at me. I'm going to tell you the truth.
He's bad.
He's average. He's an average quarterback. He's not going to be above average unless he can run. And if he runs, he's going to get hurt again. I just think Robert Griffin is not going to get much better. I think he's pretty much what you see is what you get with him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? And that's why. Did you hear what the New England Patriots said on their way out of town?
They said Kirk Cousins was better.
They said Kirk Cousins was better. That's Mike McCartney's guy.
Yeah. Which to me, Kirk Cousins is always going to look better than RG3 in practice. Because
he's a drop back.
He came up as a drop back passer.
Yep.
He has better footwork. He knows the pocket and because he's played in the pocket his whole life. Robert Griffin III doesn't have very good footwork and he didn't grow up as a traditional pocket passing quarterback. So when you're running those traditional quarterback drills, who's going to look better, the guy who's been doing his whole life or the guy who's just started doing it? But Robert Griffin III is twice the athlete that Kirk Cousins is, and he's the type of guy who shows up on game day. So if you tell me that Kirk Cousins looked better in practice, Kirk Cousins should look better in practice.
He's also playing against second string guys. The New York Giants, I just don't know this year if they have it going on yet. I mean, they really don't have. How good is this kid from LSU that was their three last year? He's going to be. They're asking him to be their two now. You know who I'm talking about, the wide receiver. And of course, Hakeem Nicks is gone. He's in Indianapolis. And evidently, he lost some weight because they were giving him, the head coach in Indy, was giving him a hard time about what? His conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He went out last night and tore it up. I think he had five catches for 80 or 90 yards. NFC North, Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. The Packers, they're going to be there. The defense should be better. The Lions should be better. You know what? I think it's the Bears' year. I think if Cutler stays healthy, he wins it. Minnesota is going to take him 2 or 3 years to get there. Listen, we're going to be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. So stay tuned and don't change that dial.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
In the wake of, I guess wake, right? Wake.
In response...
I don't know how the word is. We have our fantasy football draft
he
today.
Goes to West, he went to West Virginia,
and because we have our fantasy football draft today.
Don't feel bad. They don't have English classes there.
We don't. We none.
Why would you?
You don't.
They don't have them in high school. Why would they have them in college?
So we're going to go over.
They have plenty of dentists, though.
We're going to go over fantasy football. And because we have our draft today. So
I'm excited, kind of.
We're going to talk about. First, we're going to talk about running backs. Because the running back crop is so small.
It is small.
And I don't know why I'm going to give you guys, and by you guys, I mean the two of you who are in the room who I'm going to beat again.
Please, don't act like you're doing me a favor.
But
I don't care what your draft strategy is.
If you don't draft a running back early, you're going to end up with no running back.
I thought you said you were going to send me something.
I did. I don't have it. I forwarded it to Bruce Hall.
Tickets at brucehallsports.com. Tickets sure. at brucehallsports.com.
I sent it to Bruce.
Here it is. Cheat sheets. Yeah, I love it.
Cheat sheets.
All right, here's Roy. All right, so what's this first one here?
Well,
the first one is, these are everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go over this. Hey, people, we didn't finish telling you who we were going to like, but we're gonna save that for the end of this segment, I guess.
Sure.
For the NFL. You know, we've only given it to you like four times already. You know, the greatest thing about the NFL, everybody asked me, why do you handicap? How come you're good every year? People, you got to be good at something. I'm not good at much. You know, I'm not good at cleaning up. I'm really good at driving fast and not getting caught.
You are good at driving fast.
I do that. But I'm a pretty good handicapper because it's about looking for value. Now, I'm going to look at these quarterbacks. Now, generally speaking, like when I was looking at USA Today's, if you go to USA, if you go to any newsstand, you can get USA Today's fantasy football. It's a big, thick thing. And they have like 20 guys. I guess it's about 20 guys that draft their own teams. And these guys are all nerds. And some of them are actually sports people. Most of them aren't. But nobody was drafting a quarterback in the first round. Roy, why is that?
You don't draft a quarterback in the first round.
Okay.
We had that fantasy guy on before.
Yeah,
who
Matt.
Said grab a quarterback early. Don't grab a quarterback early because you're going to get a good, solid quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. So, especially if you're in a 10-team league. If you're in a 10-team league.
Did you say especially again? You got to stop doing that.
Especially.
Hey,
the eggs is the specialty.
Even if
today.
It's Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, you don't want them. Okay.
Don't care.
Okay.
Because
okay.
There's not that big of a difference between a Peyton Manning or an Aaron Rodgers
and a Terrell Pryor
and a Colin Kaepernick and a Russell
or Mike
Wilson.
Glennon or Kirk Cousins.
Tom Brady. I mean, you can grab a Tom Brady in the fifth round, sixth round.
Mike Vick.
So, well, you don't.
Do you want a number two?
Do not.
You don't want a number two, do you?
No, you don't want a number
two. All right,
two.
Well, so right now, let's say you had the first pick in a draft. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Adrian Peterson, or I'm taking Jamal Charles or Shady McCoy. I'm taking one of those three, depending if you're in a PPR league or not.
Okay.
PPR being points per reception for all of you noobs out there.
Points per reception, so you have to score.
Points per reception means if you're catching a pass, you get a point.
Oh, okay, so you're not talking about points that you score.
Right, standard scoring
leagues. What do you get for, do they give you extra points for touchdowns?
Touchdowns are 6 points.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. It's easy to remember because it's six.
It is easy to
remember. You know who I had last year that was really good? DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray is solid. Now, he's rated number 8 here.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I guess he was 12. Let's go over the quarterbacks first. Peyton Manning is obviously number 1.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, number 2. Drew Brees, 3. Matt Stafford is 4. Or Matthew, as everybody calls him. I call him Matt because he lets me. Cam Newton. I don't know about that. Andrew Luck, in my opinion, should be number 2 or 3. Robert Griffin, the 3rd, please. 7. You're dreaming if he's going to be that high.
Well, you're getting a lot of, a lot of running points.
But he's not going to run much. Nick Foles, number 8. I like Foles higher than that. Kaepernick, 9. Kaepernick. Russell Wilson. I had Russell Wilson last year, and I'm sure I got him in the 2nd or 3rd round. Matt Ryan. Matt, you know what? They're going to be so bad. They're going to be behind all the time. I bet Matt Ryan is a good pick because he's going to have a lot of yardage this year if he stays healthy. What do you think? You're looking at other stuff. You're supposed to be my expert. Tom Brady is. Why is Tom Brady number 12?
Tom Brady,
is that because he cheats?
Tom Brady doesn't have the receiving core that some of these other guys have. And he doesn't have a tight end.
You're right. He doesn't have a receiving core.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski. I mean, he has Julian Edelman, who knows the system, but Julian
Edelman.
He's
got two guys that are exactly the same. Edelman and what's his name?
Edelman's not.
Wes Welker.
Wes Welker plays for the Broncos.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I'm sorry.
Edelman.
Well, who is the other guy like Edelman that's on that team? Don't they have a guy like that?
They have a couple guys that none of them really showed up last year.
They picked up a guy, though. Anyway, Tony Romo is 13. Phillip Rivers. Now, there's a guy that could be a sleeper for you.
I think you're talking about Danny Amendola.
Yes, I am, because they're exactly the same. Yeah, they're little guys that can run.
Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, and then they have Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, well, LaFell was Aaron a legitimate Dobson. 2 with Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In the preseason, he has just kicked butt. Yeah. I like LaFell as a sleeper. I really do. I think that you'll be able to get him fairly late.
He's very late.
And he's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning, Andy Dalton. Well, we got, hold on, Cutler, then Roethlisberger, then Dalton. I don't like Dalton. Eli is 18. Yep. And Peyton is 1.
I got Eli last year.
You think
year.
That creates any problems at Thanksgiving?
Probably. I got Eli last year in the 8th round. So you can grab.
Well, you won the league.
I did win the league, yeah.
Well, so what does that say? You can win a Super Bowl with Eli Manning.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. He's won 2 already.
He's got a couple in real life.
He's got 2 rings. He's mm-hmm. he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but you know what? He's got to finish strong.
I had Nick Foles last year as well.
I
picked him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, he was available after the draft. How many people are in our draft? 14?
There are 14 people in our league.
Okay, so with 14, you really don't need a quarterback in the first round.
You don't need a quarterback in the first round.
Okay. What if you had 30 in a league?
If you're, well, there, I don't know. I've never played in a league that big.
But that's how big the NFL is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in real life, you need a quarterback. In fantasy, you don't really need a quarterback to late because the difference between the top guy and the 10th guy really isn't that – it's really not that big of a deal.
You know who is a really good pick, according to our buddy Jess Root, with the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Cardinals and Diamondbacks, too, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Cardinals. I do that all the time. Is Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer's number 19. Carson Palmer has great receivers out there. He's got 2 new tight ends who are great. Flacco, your boy, 21.
I hate Joe Flacco.
Josh McCown is 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're right. I'm looking at Sam Bradford's 26. He's not very good, though.
You can get points out of Sam Bradford, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. Well, there is a difference between Sam Bradford and Peyton Manning. But is there really a difference between Sam Bradford and Nick Foles?
How about Sam Bradford and Tony Romo?
I will take Tony Romo any day of the week.
Well, I know. Well, you know, we talked about that all year last year, all year the year before that. You and I both think Romo is totally underrated.
Tony Romo.
He is a diamond in a rough.
Yes.
In the rough.
I think Tony Romo
is a Hall
of Famer.
He plays for one of the worst teams in the league, and he should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I hate the Cowboys with a passion.
Well, how could you
but
not?
I really think that Tony Romo is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in this crop of generation of quarterbacks. I think he's great. Dude, you kicked my headphones out. Somebody really
I'm just trying to get Matt to. I was trying to get Matt to go, like, go screw him. Or no. I'm just trying to get Matt to participate over here. He
participated by kicking my headphones off
of
my head.
Hey, let's go over tight ends. Jimmy Graham, number one. Big surprise there.
That's where you stop the conversation.
Lost his big deal, you know, and they're paying him as a tight end, but he's getting a little bit more.
Jimmy Graham's the only tight end.
Hey, is Gronk going to start the first game?
He's coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah, but is he going to start the first game?
Maybe.
Well, he's ranked number three in this. Vernon Davis, number four. Jason Witten is still Jason Witten, and he's still got Tony Romo. Jordan Cameron with Cleveland.
I love Jordan Cameron.
If Manziel is the quarterback, well, it really doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He's going to be a very good tight. Now, let me ask you this. You take a running back first round.
Yeah. Ideally.
Who do you take second round? Tight ends where there's a big difference between the top, say, six?
Jimmy Graham is the only guy.
You take in the first round or second round?
If you took him in the first round, I would be okay with it. Usually I scream at people who take tight ends in the first round. But Jimmy Graham, there's such a difference between Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas or Rob Gronkowski or Vernon Davis or Jason Witten. There is such a huge gap between those guys. And Jimmy Graham, that he's a difference maker for
your
team.
Who I saw catch a touchdown pass last night that looked really good? Kyle Rudolph with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's a big guy that can run the field. Martellus Bennett has your boy throwing to him.
If you're not getting Jimmy Graham, you can wait on a tight end to the fourth or fifth round and grab somebody like a Greg Olsen, Jordan Cameron. You can even get Charles Clay. I saw Charles Clay. My brother had a draft yesterday. Charles Clay went in the 10th round. So you can get some of these middle echelon guys, middle of the pack tight ends, very deep in the draft, and you can stock more running backs and you can stock more receivers.
Let me tell you how strong the running back crowd is. We only have 14 teams in our league. Mm-hmm. Number 14 is Reggie Bush.
Not everybody's going to get a running back.
Yeah, but is Reggie Bush worth a first round pick?
No.
Okay, how about Arian Foster?
Yeah.
Well, he's ranked 10 now. How about DeMarco at 8?
DeMarco Murray might be
a late first round.
Be worth, yeah, a late first round pick.
All right, Matt Forte.
But then you're taking into account, Matt Forte, absolutely.
Or Marshawn.
Marshawn Lynch.
My son had Marshawn last
Even
year.
Eddie Lacy. I think the top six running backs, they're all worth a first round look.
All right, we got a minute left. Let's look at wide receivers. My guy, I did get Calvin Johnson last year. Mm-hmm. So I had the best receiver last year. Although I don't know if his numbers ended up the best. I think it says 7 here he ended up. He's number 1 this year. Demaryius Thomas is 2. Dez Bryant's an animal. I had him 2 years ago. AJ Green, number 4. Brandon Marshall. Julio Jones is real good with Atlanta. Antonio Brown, I'm surprised he's so high at 7 with Pittsburgh. What do you think? Isn't that kind of high for him?
Antonio Brown's going to get a lot of balls.
I like Jordy Nelson. He's number 8. Alshon Jeffrey, number 9. Andre Johnson, number 10. Randall Cobb, he was a pickup last year.
Yep.
And he's 11 this year. Larry Fitzgerald, future Hall of Famer, is only 13 now. Victor Cruz, your boy, your salsa boy, 16. Anyway, I got a little something to say. Then we're going to come back and finish up. But this is very important, so write this down. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's second opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back
on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're giving you the fantasy advice that nobody else is right now. How to win your league, like Roy Edwards.
Who's Roy Edwards? Anyway, team defense, Seattle Seahawks. There's a surprise. What? Now, let me ask you this, Roy. How many points do you get from a team that gives up 10 points a week? Is it worth taking them in the fourth round?
No.
Fifth round.
Here's what I do. I draft everybody, and then I take a kicker and a defense in the last two rounds. I've even not drafted defenses before.
Because you can find a pretty good defense late.
I am the guy who drops his defense every week to find.
So what's your... You always have to find that matchup. Just find who the worst offense is and then find the
I hit defense. The waiver wire and find whoever Jacksonville's playing that week.
not this year you won't. All right, kickers. How important is a kicker?
Kickers, I mean...
My kicker was number three last year, Justin Tucker.
I like kickers, but... I mean, I'm not high on...
round?
There's a guy... 10.
Really?
10 is the earliest.
What the last one is?
10?
10.
How many guys are we drafting?
15.
So 10 for a kicker.
The 10th?
10 is the earliest I would ever pick up a kicker. I would never... I don't take a kicker in the 10th.
So how many running backs do you want out of your 15?
Right? I want 5 running backs.
How many wide receivers?
I want 5 receivers.
How many quarterbacks? 2.
1 or 2.
Because you can always pick up a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's hot all of a sudden, who's starting that maybe somebody got injured.
I'd rather have more running backs and more receivers and keep one tight end or one quarterback and then one kicker and one wide receiver.
Now, so tight ends generally, unless it's a Jimmy Graham or a Julius Thomas or a Rob Gronkowski, I mean, even Vernon Davis has weeks where he doesn't do anything.
Most tight ends are going to have those weeks.
You know who ended up being a pretty good tight end? Certain times was Kobe Flaner. And I think he's just going to get better because he's got Andrew Luck thrown to him.
I mean, look at Antonio Gates.
Well, about Jordan Reed from the Redskins? He's a good tight end.
Jordan Reed is on the hype machine right now. A lot of people are high on him. I don't know
Dennis
what to think
Pitta
about him.
Was injured most of the year. And
now
he's one of the reasons Baltimore didn't do anything.
He's a Baltimore crutch.
Yes, he is.
So, I mean, there is a lot of depth at the tight end receiver or the tight end position after Jimmy Graham.
All right, real quick. Matt, Roy, quarterbacks, who do you take first if you have the first pick? Who's the first quarterback you're going to take?
The first quarterback off the board is Peyton Manning for me.
How about you?
Same here, Peyton.
Peyton Manning.
He carried
me. All right,
I'm going to take
Aaron Rodgers cuz I'm going to, you know, lay a little bit that Peyton hurts that neck this year. All right, tight ends.
Aaron Rodgers yesterday was going in the third round in drafts.
Who do you take? Tight ends.
Tight ends, I want Jimmy Graham. If I have the 8th or 9th overall
Matt?
Pick, I'm taking Jimmy Graham.
Who do you want?
Vernon Davis.
You're taking Vernon Davis? I'm taking Jordan Cameron. All right.
I like Jordan Cameron.
All right.
There's always going to be someone who takes
running backs.
Jimmy Graham like in the third
you
round.
Said Adrian. Hey, we don't have time for all this crap. Hey, running backs, who do you take, Roy? First.
I like Shady McCoy a lot.
All right, who do you like over there, Matthew?
Yeah, I go McCoy too.
All right, good. I'm taking Marshawn Lynch. Wide receivers, who are you taking?
Megatron.
Who are you taking?
I'm going anyone with the Redskins because I think Robert Griffin III is not going to be able to run this year.
You know who I'm taking? I'm taking Julio Jones because I think that Ryan's going to throw for 5,000 yards and they're going to go 6-10. Because they're going to suck. All right. Team defenses. Roy, who are you going to take?
Well, I probably won't take anybody, but if I had to take a defense, I'd take Seattle.
Now, let me ask you this. Can you play a game without a defense?
No, but after... Okay,
you, so technically, yes, you can.
Well, you can, but you're not going to get any points, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, but how many points do you get for a defense that
you can't put someone else in that place.
A really good defense is going to get you 10, 12 points.
Okay, but what if you don't need 10 or 12 points that week? Do you just leave them out?
You could do that. It's better than getting negative points, which can happen.
If you have a really good defense and you don't want to put them on the waiver and you don't want to get rid of anybody else, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, if you have Seattle.
So who are you taking?
I take Seattle.
Who are you taking?
I guess Seattle. It's basically
I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals. Kickers, Roy, who's your kicker you're going to take?
You know, Matt Prater, there's this hype train around Matt Prater, but I like Steven Gostkowski of New England.
Because they score so much.
Because, well, I think
he kicks a lot of field goals.
I think it's the opposite. A lot of people are high on Matt Prater because they think that Denver is going to be scoring every drive. Well, you get 1 point for that. I'll take the offense like the Patriots, who I think are going to move the ball a lot and maybe not get in the end zone every time. So I'll take that 3 points. That's my reasoning behind the Steven Gostkowski.
Or Shane Graham from New Orleans.
Shane Graham's the very same kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm going to take,
and he kicks inside.
I'm going to take Prater too. Okay, that's basically where we're at. Now let's do this. Let's go back. I want to go back where we were before, which were the standings, because we didn't quite finish up. And you know, those people remember this stuff. We got down to NFC North. Detroit Lions. Are they going to be better this year? They finally got rid of Schwartz. The Schwartz be with
the
you.
The Schwartz
He's
are no
somewhere else.
With them.
I don't think they're going to be that good. I think they're going to win 6 or 7 games. I just don't think their defense is that much better, even with the guys they've added. Bears, to me, look like...
That's a tough division.
Can I tell you what, though? The Bears may win 10 games again this year.
Alshon Jeffries.
They got some receivers.
Brandon Marshall. Yep. I like Jay Cutler. I think he's a very good
quarterback. Well, Forte's healthy, too.
And Matt Forte is a stud. They have offensive power. And now they're a year... They're another year under their new look defense that doesn't have Brian Urlacher.
No, and they're another year under their head coach too. I like Green Bay. They may have the best head coach in the league. They get back their offensive players who were not with them at the end of last year. They can run the football. They can throw the football. Mm-hmm. They just got to be able to play defense. I say Green Bay makes it as a wild card under Chicago. This year.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
I think they go 9-7, maybe 10-6.
Eddie Lacy's a stud.
Well, Eddie Lacy is a stud, but he's not. Starks is a stud, too. I mean, they're one of the few teams that can take a guy out like Lacy and throw Starks in there, and he'll get 100 yards, too. Minnesota Vikings are going to be better. You know, they're kind of a one-trick pony with Adrian Peterson, and they have a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I do like the Vikings getting better, and their defense is going to be better, too. NFC South, we got 3 minutes left. You got the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see Carolina going to the playoffs again. I see the Saints 9-7, 10-6, everybody else 6-10 or 5-11. I don't think Atlanta's going to be any good at all. I think that they are going through a transition where after this year, Mike Smith's gone and the GM's gone.
I think Atlanta's okay.
They're not going to win 8 games.
I like Matt Ryan. I think they have one of the best receiving cores in the game. Their defense, to me, is suspect. And when you play in the same conference,
horrible.
I mean, some of the best quarterbacks in the league play in that division.
And they can't cover anybody.
They
can't cover. NFC West, the Rams, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl in 17. I'm picking them this year. To go to the playoffs. I think they win 10 games and go to the playoffs. I have the 49ers only winning 10 games this year. I have Seattle winning 12 games, and I have the Arizona Cardinals, are you ready for this? Winning 11 games and going to the playoffs. What do you think about that? Do you think this is the best division in football? It's no question. This NFC West division is the best division in football.
I think it's one of the best, because I will put it up there with the AFC West as well. I mean, the AFC West, they have Oakland.
They also have a Kansas City team that kind of overdid it last year, and I don't think they're back.
They have
Oakland.
They have Jamal Charles, and they have a very good – I mean, Kansas City has a good, very good defense. I mean, that's a good football team. They do have Oakland, though.
They're small.
Oakland sucks, but you also have Denver. And the AFC West is good.
Well, but they have a bad team. They have the Raiders.
Yep. The Rams. The Rams are
a lot better than Oakland.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. But I mean, we both like the Rams to be contenders here in what next year.
Who's going to have the worst? We got a minute left. Who's going to be the worst team in the NFL this year by record?
Jacksonville.
Oh, I say that's not untrue. You know who I'm going to pick? You're gonna die when I give you this pick.
Jacksonville still, to me, does not have a quarterback, and that's what you need in this league. I mean, they don't. Cleveland, they have.
Tampa Bay will have the worst team in the league, even with Lovie Smith.
You think so?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Okay. Without a doubt, because if something happens to their quarterback, they're done. They don't have an. I mean, they're just not going to be that good. Hey, listen, it's been a great show today. There's a lot going on today. There's football. There's two games later today, one at 4, one at 8 o'clock. And there's baseball all day. Thanks for joining us on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy, have a great weekend, rest of your weekend. Matthew, drive safe, buddy. See you later, people. We'll be back next week.